Hello everyone and welcome to Event Talks, a podcast powered by Hubelo, where we discuss event ideas, trends, technology, basically everything and anything related to events with the best of industry experts. I am Juhi and
I am Jharna and we are your hosts for the day.
So today we are absolutely delighted to be joined by a MICE industry expert, Pauline Kwasniak. Hello Pauline. Pleasure to have you on our show.
Thank you very much, ladies. It's a pleasure to be here and thanks for having me.
So for the listeners, here's a small introduction about Pauline. Pauline is an internationally celebrated public speaker and an entrepreneur. She's also a digital marketing strategist and a content producer for the MICE industry for quite a long time. Having founded Female Events Planners Agency, Pauline has been putting a great emphasis on narrating the stories of female event planners in the industry. Did I miss something out? So please feel free to add.
No, that was amazing. I'm well impressed. That's basically it. Yes.
Yeah, thank you. So today we'll be conversing with Pauline and we'll take some good amount of insights on how virtual events are driving digital literacy skills. So let's get started. Pauline, my first question to you for the podcast is, with the onset of COVID-19, we saw a great rise in virtual events, right? Now that people are getting familiar with the concept of virtual events, how would this help people become digitally smarter or skilled in the coming months?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think if we look at even statistics of the users of Zoom, there was 10 million people using Zoom 19. But if we jumpstart to March 2020, I think the figure was at 200 million users. So that can already show you the number of people that are using technology or that had to use more tech solutions in order to meet, in order to talk, in order to present, as opposed to just a few months ago. But right. Digital literacy skills is not only about how you use the technology, right? It's about how you find the information, how you select the information, the e-safety. So do you know how to make yourself secure online? It's about the communication and building those relationships online. And also fitting in the digital culture, social understanding of how digital works. And people who never participated much in online events before, didn't have to download Zoom, didn't have to collaborate on social media, would not have these skills. And I feel there is a joke actually going around online. If you wanted to ask what streamlined the digital revolution, was it a CTO? Was it a big entrepreneur? No, it was actually COVID-19.
Oh, right.
That's amazing. Yeah.
So I totally agree with it. And I also think that virtual events have come as a boon for the all of us in these testing times. And they definitely have a potential to make us quicker and smarter.
So my next question to you is, how can event organizers make UI and UX event more user-friendly and create an experience which is inclusive for all kinds of attendees?
Yeah, perfect. So it's very important that you mention those UX skills and UX experience. It's a user experience, right? And how the user interacts with a page, a platform. First of all, we have to understand that an online event, a virtual event, starts with a landing page, an invitation, a registration page. Then it progresses into sometimes a payment, right? All of that. So all of that process has to be simplified and it has to have a good user flow. Right. Because if you look at e-commerce, due to the bad UX, you could have something like 25% of purchases not being completed because people just don't want to bother with it. So that's very important for online events, even free events. You know, if I want to take my time to go through the line and then press register, this has to be easy. It has to be nicely flowing. And then, of course, the platform itself, the platform that you use to deliver the event, reminders as well are absolutely crucial. And I think the right solution is to actually use one platform, one technology provider, one platform that can actually offer all of that experience, maybe create a page for the event, the registration, payments, for example, then the online experience and some sort of post-purchase advocacy stage as well. And with the UX, what we have to remember is that exhaustion can also be seen as a disability, meaning that when we're exhausted, our brain doesn't function on the full capacity. We might be tired. We're all experiencing, we're all experiencing right now a lot of frustrations. So that's why UX, it's also so important. And then again, 15% of all the population around the world are people who suffer from some sort of disability. So that's also important not to exclude them from that experience.
Yeah, that is so true. Having a sleeker and a smarter technology to be, which is easy to use by mostly all the attendees and even the event organizers, make half of the task easier for them.
Absolutely. And then you can talk about the speakers, you know, making it more inclusive, but that's a whole different era now in marketing. But the most important for me would be the UX. Absolutely.
Yeah, that is so true. The first impression lasts very long. Yeah.
And also what we have to understand is that there are so many online and virtual events happening right now. You do want to compete for that attention. That means you have to have a very good speaker because obviously he will attract attention. But if you have a great UX, if the event looks really lovely visually, especially that landing page, that invitation, you're going to attract more people. So that's also in terms of competition and your bottom line as an agent, let's say, an organizer.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. So moving on to our next question. Organizations and people have already begun to adapt to the virtual ecosystem. How long do you think it will take for people to be totally tech savvy as far as virtual events are concerned?
So when it comes to virtual events, we're always going to need experts, right? And I think you posted a very interesting blog post, and I read it earlier in the week, about all the implications of hybrid events. And there was a lot of information about what the right microphones we have to use, all the technology that we have to hire new people now to overlook everything technically. So I think these people are really, really important. If you really want to have an amazing virtual or hybrid event and you want to streamline it, of course there are tools right now. You can even streamline your event to YouTube. You could use Instagram Live or whatever, of course. But if you're doing a corporate event, an important high class, high profile event, you're gonna need those tech people. So there is a difference in being technically savvy and digitally savvy, such as I'm sure all of you are, myself, but there is a difference between an expert, an audiovisual expert, and we need them for virtual and tech events, right? We absolutely do. But in terms of embracing the online and the digital, I think that change is happening very, very quickly because it is consumer-led. Meaning, I had a very important conversation with someone from Belgium. She's a corporate event planner within the pharma industry. And she told me her last physical event was in February. The client no longer can or no longer wants to do a physical event during this year. So he requires an online virtual events, and she had to upskill herself very quickly. So that need of digitalization comes from the customer. And we know very well that whatever comes from the customer, we take it and we embrace it very, very quickly because it affects our bottom line. So I think in this regard and in this instance, that change will be happening or is happening and takes place very quickly.
Yeah. Customers for sure help us embrace many new changes. Even while talking about Hubilo, we have been changing our interface, we have been changing our looks, and that's all because we have been getting so many feedbacks about our product, and we have been continuously upgrading our Hubilo's virtual event platform management system that we have given this, come up with a new look of our website as well that you might have had a look of.
I did, yeah.
So yeah, customers are like a very important part of this journey.
Absolutely. And I think this is also where your success is, because sometimes customers don't know what they want, of course. Yeah. And if they did, we wouldn't have Henry Ford, you know, building a car, because all they wanted was just a faster horse. They didn't want a car. So sometimes, you know, isn't it true? And sometimes we have to lead that innovation. But at the same time, if changes are coming from the customer, that ensures that you're in the right place. You can make profit. You can change easily, comfortably, because you know they want it and you know they need it. So
that's so true. Yeah.
So moving on
to our next question. Hybrid events, as we discussed before, hybrid events are said to be the next big thing that is coming in 2021. For people who have finally become aware of the digital technology, what will their transition look like when they are moving towards the hybrid events?
Very good question. So I actually think that hybrid events are harder than fully digital events, right? Yeah. Because you have two components. You have people in the room, which are there physically during the live event, and that's part of your audience. But at the same time, you have to streamline it. You need technology because you're delivering this event at the same time to a wider online audience. And that's particularly difficult to do because A, you still have to engage with your audience in the room, and B, you still have to engage with your online audience. So putting all the technological aspects and challenges aside, which can be solved with a very good team, with a good software provider, let's say we have all of that technically aligned. As you actually wrote in your blog, it's about how the presenter looks like.
Right.
And I had the pleasure to study television and journalism in Spain. And we've learned a lot about how to look good in front of the camera, not wearing stripy clothing, not dressing up in the same color as your background. And green color is a big no-no, especially, right? But also how the presenter looks, how the presenter looks like and how she acts like, which can be okay in the physical space, but not in an online space. And I'll give you an example. Fenty Beauty is a makeup brand created by Rihanna. And over the last few months, they've been doing a lot of live events on Instagram, very good events in terms of wellness and breathing exercises. And they had an amazing speaker, an amazing breathing exercise therapist. And she was telling us, and I joined this live event, and she was showing us how to breathe. But during the breathing exercise, she closed her eyes and her eyelids were moving uncontrollably, which looked a bit weird. And so everybody was texting, and instead of concentrating on the event and on the experience, they were all texting, oh, look at the eyes. It looks a bit weird. It looks a little bit funny. And that has taken a little bit from the experience. So actually, I think it would be better if she opened her eyes and looked at us while telling us to close our eyes. So there's many mistakes like this that happen online that people don't realize, and it takes away from the experience. Yeah. But I truly believe that corporate companies, corporate events, sales events, it's all going to be hybrid. And I was a big advocate, even previously, I was a huge advocate on even when you attend a fam trip or an event, to make the experience broader for the online audience so that more people can see it. It's a necessity. You can reach more people, but at the same time, it is difficult. It has to be practiced. You have to talk to the experts. You have to be very mindful of how you look, of how you act. And also just the last thing when it comes to hybrid, I honestly believe that sound is even more important than the visual.
Yeah. So
if the visual breaks for a moment, but you have good sound, the audience is still going to be engaged. It's as simple as that.
Right.
That is so true. Yeah. So as I think virtual was also a big challenge for our industry, I think our industry has become strong enough and we will conquer hybrid events as well in the coming years. I hope so. Fingers crossed.
Absolutely. And we will learn from each other's mistakes. There'll be case studies. Yeah. There can be a book. It will surely be like a separate discipline now during the event management courses and vocational trainings. There are now a lot of companies that I spoke to from UK organizing virtual events trainings. So that's like a new academic genre of literature now that people will be producing from within the industry, right? Which includes this podcast. So...
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, thanks for the insights on hybrid events. I think it makes a lot of sense as of now. And I think for the coming months also, it holds really true. Moving on. So our last question to you for the podcast is, as and when people are starting to accommodate digital events and digital technology for virtual events, what do you think will be the future of event technology or event industry?
This is so exciting, isn't it? So I 100% believe that the next step is virtual reality and augmented reality when it comes to the events industry. The first fully virtual conference took place in Shanghai. Well, it wasn't really in Shanghai. It was on a special online platform. It was organized by the HTC Vive. This is a company based in Shanghai, as far as I'm concerned, but it's a global company. And they've organized the first virtual reality conference with the custom-built stage. And the platform that they've used is called Engage. And that platform has been built by an Irish company called VR Immersive Education. They're based in Waterford. They're an absolute global leader in that technology. And the conference was delivered via the VR means with people's avatars and the online materials and presentations. What's interesting about it is that you could either join with the full VR set, or if you don't want to, you can still participate in the conference just by watching it on your desktop, let's say. Right. So I truly believe not for all the meetings, not if you had like what HTC Vine did, if you had a big international conference with a lot of speakers and let's say very important and very busy speakers who couldn't even fly to a destination because they're busy. And if they joined via virtual reality, augmented reality, it would save a lot of time and people would still benefit from their expertise, especially if we're talking in terms of medical or showcasing something like the 3D models that you can actually see when you put on your VR set for medical, especially if they were discussing a new breakthrough, if they were discussing a human body. It's really important also in terms of trainings, medical trainings. And I think medical industry has been embracing VR and AR for a long time now, but it's now time for the events industry to embrace it slowly but surely. As I said, March 2020, we witnessed the first fully virtual reality conference delivered online. So we still have a long way to go, but I think that's the next normal. Yeah.
So that's all from our side. Pauline, would you like to add anything to it? Or Juhi, would you like to add anything to it?
Well, yeah, that's on my side.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think, you know, when it comes to technology, we've said what the next thing is going to be, what we need to do. I think people have no doubt now that digitalization is very, very important. Digital literacy skills are very, very important. There are a lot of people who are still lacking these skills. Mm. So it's important to include that education and treat this as a language teaching rather than just bombarding people with courses. You know, it has to be taken step by step. Mm-hmm. They are now critical skills for functioning in our society, also for feeling empowered, because if you don't have these skills, you can feel quite depressed.
Right.
And I think organizations, event planners who are doing online events should also ensure that their audience, that their guests are not feeling disadvantaged, that they're not feeling this pressure, oh, I don't know what I should do here, what I should press. So teaching digital literacy skills to people, it's in all of our best interests for business, for education purposes, and so on and so forth. But there is another very human aspect when it comes to the future of events, the future of the industry or any industry, is that we have to go back to basics and not forget that human empathy is the most important thing. We can use as much technology as we want, but at the same time, it's all about us as humans collaborating together, respecting each other. And there is this concept of netiquette. I don't know if you've heard about it. It's like etiquette, but for the online world.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's crucial, you know, because it's no longer I can say whatever I want online. I can do whatever I want online. No. This is now such a strong part of our lives. And maybe just not to leave you on a negative front, but I think we have to deal better now that we're organizing online events with hacking, because that has happened to a good few organizers. I've heard a lot of people saying they would have, you know, people hacking their event. So better security systems, but other than security is also part of the digital literacy skills. So understanding that better, protecting better, and working with top leaders, top software providers. I cannot stress this enough, working with a platform, working with Hubilio, other platforms as well, who are the leaders who will guide you during the process, who have amazing resources. It's all about learning, right?
Right.
It's all about learning.
Yeah. Lovely. Thank you so much, Pauline, for throwing light on some unexplored and interesting subjects. I'm sure our listeners would have enjoyed these takeaways as well. Thank you for joining us on Event Talks. It was indeed a pleasure to have you on the show.
Yeah, it was really nice having this podcast with you.
Thank you very much, ladies. You've been such a pleasure to deal with as well. And I'm looking forward to do more collaborations and more online events.
Sure.
Sure.